All right, so I was going to get back to Acts this Sunday, but we're not going to do that. We're going to get there after Family Fun Fest. But I wanted to concentrate on this. So next year is our second Family Fun Fest. So we've done some other events in the fall, and we said we needed to do something in the spring. And so that's when we did it last year. And we have loved the response that we've gotten. And we're just excited again to show our community that God has placed us in, and the community that he's placed our peoples in, where we get to invite people, that this place right here is a place where you can find God. You know, it's a place where you are going to be loved, and maybe a place for you. So, and I got to tell you, because that's not always easy on Long Island. I mean, I think we can love people, but it's hard to love some of the things that are happening because of the place we live in, right? Long Island can be a hard place. The people can be hard. The traffic is hard. It's expensive to live on Long Island. Am I right? Right? It's expensive, right? There's a lot of immorality. There's just a lot of immorality all around us. And sometimes we just want to check out and think about the next phase of our life. So if we're young, sometimes that means, you know, college or career. We're always looking, you know, a lot of people are looking for jobs off the island. I get it's expensive. I get it's hard. I get there's a lot of things going on. If we're older, we start thinking about maybe retirement and getting off the island. I swear, sometimes it just feels like people are just waiting to get off and just enduring in the meantime. And then if they're not trying to get off, too many people are just caught in this rat race that happens on the island, where you've got to always be busy, you've got to always be making money, you've got to always just go, and you're just in the grind constantly. You're in the grind constantly. Again, like I said, just enduring. Well, it's time to stop enduring. All right? It's time to thrive for Christ right here, right now, where he's placed us. It's time to make a difference for Jesus Christ and for the gospel of Jesus Christ, where God has placed us in this journey of life, of where he has us. Right? And so that's what we want to talk about today. So there was a time in the life of God's people where they didn't want to be where they wanted to be. So if you have your Bibles, well, at home, here, take a Bible out, Jeremiah chapter 29. So right after Psalms, a few books to the right, Jeremiah chapter 29. For believers, sometimes this can be a verse that you might have heard at, but it certainly was a true time of uncertainty about where they were. Let me explain that. So this is a time somewhere about BC 597, all right? So this is what has happened in Israel's life. They've been judged by God because they would not walk with God. They would not stay true to him. They kept going to other gods, acting like other nations, doing all kinds of things. And so God brings the Babylonians in. In 605 BC, he captures, Nebuchadnezzar captures Jerusalem, deports people. That's where Daniel and a lot of the aristocrats are taken out. Those who have lineage that was of higher, if you would, that was prophesied. They still wouldn't listen. 597 BC, Nebuchadnezzar comes back again and takes even more out. They deport more to Babylon. Another deportation. This time, more of the people went. Eventually, they wouldn't listen at all, and so in 586 BC, Babylon comes and they just wipe out. They destroy the walls. They take out the ability of Jerusalem to stand against anybody, and against Israel and Judah specifically to stand against anybody. And so now you have all these people in Babylon, and even those in Jerusalem are still just an arrogant bunch, right? And this is what happens. So false prophets begin to say that, hey, you're only going to be here 2 years. Matter of fact, chapter 28 is about one of those prophecies of, you're only going to be here 2 years. That's all you're going to be in Babylon. And then God's going to get you back because we're going to be okay. We're going to go back and be able to be where we want to be. And that's where it is. Right? They'll be back with all the temple, with all the, you know, the temple's destroyed in 586, but this is 597 somewhere in there, right? Like, everything's going to be great. Israel's going to rise again. Things will be good. But that's a false prophecy. And then God needs to set the record straight. And so Jeremiah has already prophesied at this point that they'll be there 70 years. Already prophesied that. And yet he comes back again and he says, that's what happened. So he sends a letter to the exiles and he challenges them while they are in exile in Babylon about what to do. And I think this is a great challenge for us because we kind of feel like sometimes we're in Babylon and God's called us to be here. All right, so let's look at this message to the exiles, Jeremiah chapter 29, and then let's talk about what Jeremiah says to them, and then I would say to us too. All right, so first three verses are just this lead up to this, but this is what it says. Verse 4, Jeremiah writes, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon." All right? So guys, you were there. Now remember, they're looking at this prophecy 2 years. What do we got? What do we got? Look at what Jeremiah says to them. Verse 5, he says, "Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and become the fathers of sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters and multiply there and do not decrease." Now that sounds like they're going to be there a while, right? What Jeremiah says to the exiles is, he says, you need to bloom where you're planted. You need to bloom right where you are, right where God has planted you. Too many of us, and I'm sure them, just wait until I can do this. Or they say, if only I was back in this situation, if only I was doing this, then I would be able to do something. Too many people are in that mode where they will, where they're waiting for something until a more permanent station in life or something like that will happen. I had a friend in college, Christy, and a great friend of Danielle and mine, and she used to say, "Where you are is where God wants you to be. Where you are is where God wants you to be." But maybe even better yet, maybe it should be wherever you are, wherever God has you, God is there with you. He hasn't left you. He hasn't forsaken the exiles in Babylon. He says, listen, you need to bloom where you're planted because I am there also. I'm reminded of Psalm 139, verse 7, where the psalmist says, "Where can I go from your Spirit, and where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will lay hold of me." Listen, I mean, sometimes I get it, like we want to run from God. Well, guess what? You can't run from God. But even when you're in that place that you don't want to be, or and you're finding yourself in a place where you just want to say, I know I'm supposed to, but I really don't love it here, God says, I'm still with you. And so God tells them, build houses. You're going to stay a while. Marry and be married there. Don't wait till the wedding that you want in Jerusalem, you know, where you have the big party there. No, you need to get married here. You need to do your stuff here. You need to grow where God has placed you right now, right here. That's what God wants. This is not a trial life. This is life. Do all that you can now where you are. Right? Now listen, he doesn't say embrace the culture. He doesn't tell the Israelites to kind of like fit into the culture. When he says to marry and be married, he's not talking about marrying the other Babylonians. That's not what he's talking about. He's saying stay separate, but you need to live your life and you need to do what God has called you even now to do, because this is where you are and this is where I have you. Right? I mean, I do think that he would say interact with the culture so that you can transform it, but don't be transformed by it. Too many. Don't forget who you are. Remember, these are exiles. You're not to fit into the culture, but you are to stand against it in a way where you show God and what God is in your life, right? He wants us to learn the lessons that we need to learn. And for them, there was an important lesson that he needed to learn. And for us, too often, see, we just want to get out of the pain. We want to get out of what's happening. God, okay, you put me here. I don't want to be here. Now just let me be someplace else. And that's all I do is dream about that, where God says, no, I have something to grow in you right now in this place. I like what Larry Crabb said, old counselor, Christian counselor, said, feeling better has become more important to us than finding God. Bloom where you're planted. That's what God would say to us. Secondly, he tells us to pray for your place. Pray for your place. Go back to Jeremiah 29, verse 7. He says, seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare, you will have welfare. You see what he's saying? He's saying, listen, I've planted you in this place, so you should pray for its welfare. You should pray for its increase in that, because guess what? You are caught up in that, in a sense, and you'll be blessed for it. I'm always amazed when I see people on strike at a place. And this doesn't, I'm not talking against strikes or whatever, although I don't love them, right? But I'm amazed that they'll stand outside and they'll scream about what a bad company this is, and you need to go someplace else, and don't darken the doors of this store or this company or this thing, because these people are horrible, because they won't give us what we want, right? And then when the strike is over, I assume that they want you to come back and shop there so that they'll have the money enough to pay the employees. Right? So it doesn't make sense. Why? In its welfare, you will have welfare. Why would you not want its welfare? I've been amazed at workers who complain about the fact that people are coming in and they're busy. The reason you have a job is because people are coming in and you're busy. Right? Pray for its welfare, because in that you will have welfare. It'll be for your good. Right? Seek for its good, it says. Doesn't mean that you approve its evil. Matter of fact, you pray for change. You pray that God would move in you and in them for change for the glory of God. Right? So bloom where you're planted. Then he says, pray for your place. And then finally, he says, trust God with your plans. Trust God with your plans. I know sometimes you may wonder where God is or what he's thinking. And you go, God, wait. How could this be good? Now understand, I'm not talking about you finding yourself in a place because of your sin. Although they're in that place because of their sin. Well, okay, I should say that. Because God's teaching them a lesson. But where you are is God wants you to learn from that and look up to him, not look out for answers out there, right? He wants, if you're allowed to be in the situation you're in, even if it's because of your sin, I'll say it this way, you need to learn from it from God, and you need to look up to him, and you need to trust him with what he's doing in that situation. Look at what it says in verse 8. He says, for thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets who are in your midst and your diviners deceive you, and do not listen to the dreams which they dream. For they prophesied falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. I have not sent them. He says in verse 10, for thus says the Lord, when 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you and bring you back to this place. You know what it meant for them? For just about everybody reading that letter in Babylon, God says it meant that they were staying and probably dying in Babylon. I mean, think about it. If you're 30 years old and you're reading a letter and 70 years have to pass, you're not going to survive it, right? So for them, it meant staying and dying in Babylon. But does that mean that God is against them? Just because God, even in discipline, allows them to be in that situation, does that mean that God is against them? It doesn't, because look at what he says in verse 11. He says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. For you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from where I sent you into exile. Listen, God is for you. God is for you. God is not against you. Even if you are in discipline from God, he's not against you. But especially not if you're just here. Right? God is not against you. God loves you and he is for you. But it doesn't mean that God's out necessarily for your happiness, right? We talked about this in the past. He's not out for your happiness. He's out for your holiness. And he's out for the furtherance of the kingdom of God. And you are an instrument in his hand. And so if God has you where he has you, where you are is where God wants you to be. And he wants to use you in that place for his glory. Does that mean he's not going to move you someplace else? It might. He might. That's his business, right? So whether I'm here or I'm there or I'm anywhere, I'm in the hands of God. That's what I love about the great commission of God in Matthew chapter 28. Right? He says, go therefore and make disciples. That word go is a participle. It means as you go or while going, make disciples. So wherever your foot steps is a place to make a disciple. Wherever God has you is a place to make a disciple. And so that's what God has called of us to do, is to make disciples of all men, right? To we put it in this way, to exalt Christ and to point others to him. We're called to show Jesus wherever we are, right? And that means that God is out for us and our good and for his program and our good in his program, because when you enter into the will of God, it is the best that you will have. It was the best you will have. Now, that might mean hardship, or that might mean a feeling of something that's not what I want, and yet it is God using it for his glory to his name. I'm reminded again of Romans 8:28. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and to call those who are called according to his purpose. Now, keep that up there for a second. Let me just explain this verse real quick. This verse is not saying that God just works everything out for the good always. That is not what this verse says. Oh, don't worry, no matter what happens, it'll all be for the good. That is not what this verse says. This verse says that God will cause all things to work together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. In other words, for those who have a mindset on Jesus and for those who are walking in his way. And just because you're in Babylon doesn't mean you're not walking in his way. Now, you might be in Babylon because you're sin, but what God wants to do is God wants to show you himself in that place so that you will give yourself over to him, so that in the way that you walk, you're there. And even when you're like, all right, well, I'm better now, God. Can't it all go the way I want it to be? Nope, it's all God's plan. It's not your plan. Right? For those who love him and are called according to his purpose, who are walking in his way. Again, God is out for your good. And I remind you, God is there. God is there. Even if you're there because of your own choices, God is still there. I love it. Again, back to verse 11 in Jeremiah 29, right? He says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare, not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. God knows what he's doing. God loves you, and he knows who you are and where you are and what he's doing. He's not out to crush you. He is out to teach you. He is out to grow you. He will discipline you in your life, but it's because of his great love. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit your works to the Lord, and your plans will be established. Why? Because they'll be God's plans and not your plans. They'll be the things that he wants and not the things that you want. And so what is awesome about what happens is when you press into Jesus and you push into the love of God and you push into the grace of God and you push into the mercy of God, even in discipline or even where you are, when you find yourself even in Babylon, in a place that you might not want to be, maybe doing something that you really don't want to do. You'd rather do a different job at a different place. You'd rather have it a little easier or have a little more. Even there, God is with you. Right? Psalm 39 said, even there, my hand will guide you. I haven't left you. I haven't forsaken you. As a matter of fact, what my desire is my desire is that you would press closer into me. Is that you would press into God, and that in this time of a place where you don't want to be, if that's where you are, or even if you are in that place, that you would press harder into God, harder into your Lord, so that he might help you to look more like him every day, so that you might reflect Jesus in all that you do. God doesn't bring us trials or bring us something for us so that we'll just stumble and fall. He does it because he loves us and because he wants his program on this earth. And we get to represent that. Right? So when we press into God, we allow him to bring us to this place of a greater place with him, to love, honor, and glorify his name. That's why James chapter 1 says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Now, how can I do that? How can I consider it all joy when I encounter various trials? He says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. He says, and let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect or mature and complete, lacking in nothing. He says, listen, I even allow bad things to happen so that you will begin to look like me, and you can endure that even with joy. Even with joy. Why? Because I know that God's at work, and I know that God is doing something. As a matter of fact, you remember that Christ endured the cross, right? Fixing our eyes on Jesus, he says. He says, because Christ endured the cross, but for the joy set before him, he did it. For the joy set before him. Is your joy Jesus? You know, for a lot of years, I've grabbed hold of Proverbs chapter 3. And when I don't really know what's happening, but I know I'm reminded that God is there, I kind of go back to this. So what does it say? It says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. So I need you to listen to that verse a little bit, kind of just like Romans 8:28. If you will trust God in this situation, no matter what you're in, good, bad, or indifferent, if you'll trust him with everything, just knowing that God is for you and not against you, he loves you, he's with you. If you'll lean not on your understanding, but you'll seek to do it his way, to have his wisdom, to have his knowledge, to do the things that he wants you to do. And if you do it for his glory, not for you, if you do it for the advancement of his kingdom, not your kingdom, right? In all your ways, acknowledge him. And it says he'll make your path straight. And I often think about that as being on a journey that you don't really know, and you just feel like you're wandering, but you're seeking after God, and you're trusting him with all of your heart, and you're leaning not on your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge him. And you get to the end and you turn around, and what you've seen is you've gone the most direct path. You've gone the straight way to take you to where God wants you to be. Right? So I don't know where you are. Like I said, so we're gonna get to love on our community next week. And sometimes we'll love our community wishing we weren't here. And while I get that, while I know it's hard, the reality is that God has planted us here. And for some of us, we'll die on this island. For some of us, and again, that doesn't mean that God's not going to take you someplace. And what I'll tell you is this, listen, if God is taking you somewhere, please don't stay. But if God isn't, please don't go. Right? Do what God's called you to do. And while you're here, bloom where you're planted. Seek the welfare of your place. Pray for your place. and then trust God with every plan, and then you just exalt Christ with everything, and you point others to him, and he'll be glorified, and he'll be honored. Let's pray. Father God, I love you. I thank you for Jesus and for the joy that you bring. And Father, I thank you for the purpose that you provide in our lives. You really are a good, good Father. You really are good to us in everything. And so sometimes we don't feel it, but you are. Lord, I do want to take a minute and just pray, Father. Today was going to be a day where we pray to you for, especially next week, and for our Family Fun Fest. Lord, I do pray that you'd bring out us, those from Grace Gospel, that you would fill us with the love of Jesus Christ to our community, that you would fill us to the brim with Jesus, that we would come out enthusiastically, that we would come out with great joy to show Jesus in everything that we do. And Father, I pray that you'd bring people next week. I pray that you'd bring them by the hundreds even. Lord, that you would bring them and let them have a good time, let them have fun. But Lord, as we say, we do nothing for entertainment purposes only here, Father. I pray that while they're here, and while they're seeing the love of Jesus in our people, that you would stir in their heart. They would realize, if they don't have you, that it isn't about just a bunch of nice people in a nice place. It's about Jesus being here. And that they would give themselves over to you. Father, fill us with your Spirit. We can't do any of this without you. And Satan so wants to discourage, Lord, even of this week where we just have so many people in our church sick. But Lord, it's all going to be gone. Your Spirit, just wipe it all through. And Father, may we just be enthusiastic, like I said, and ready to go to exalt Christ and to point others to you. Wherever you have us, even in this place, even if you're homesick right now, Lord, I thank you that all are on the mend. I thank you and I pray that they continue to be that way so that they're completely healthy for you. God, you are a great God. I love you. I thank you. May you be glorified. In Jesus' name.